Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Cool, man.
Yeah. So, welcome back.
Yeah. Back in the NYC in Astoria.
Yes.
And this place is fucking changing like crazy, dude.
Oh my God. Jesus. I mean, so many new additions, restaurants, it just never stops.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you just saw the coffee shop that we just went to.
Yeah, that's so cool. So my favorite coffee shop, that's probably one of the places I miss the most about living down here, man, was that NYC Bagel coffee spot. Shouts to them. No, they're not paying us to talk about them. I just felt like talking about them because it's just a great place. But, like, I don't have a place like that, really, to walk to. The one place we have up at the lake closed recently.
Oh, shit.
The Lakeside Deli, yeah. So we don't have, like, a convenience store to walk to and get... Not like we're walking to get coffee, really, anyway, but... Yeah.
Not so convenient anymore.
No, yeah, definitely not. You know, that's what a Keurig's for, I guess. But yeah, man. Good coffee's good from there. You know, I got my little cold brew going on.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually love starting my day like that, especially for me working from home. You know, it's, I go there in the morning, have my coffee, I sit down, I do some work for a couple hours, and I head into the city, and yeah, just post up at the WeWork.
We were talking about that. So, like, what are you drinking coffee today? Because me, I wake up, and I used to be like this too, like, oh, I can only do one cup. Caffeine, it's bad for you. Actually, it's kind of good for you. No. So, I mean, I think I do two, at least three the most. Like, this is my third cup today. That's the max I'll do. But I know people who are, like, drinking a pot in the morning. You know what I mean? Like,
and you know, it's crazy. I used to be able to, you know, have, especially when between, back in the day when I used to work at a car dealership, virtually nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then after that, working with Verizon, I mean, I would go in and at least have two to three, you know, make two to three coffee rounds a day. Now it's up to the point where I guess they're making coffee so strong these days that, like, yeah, if I have more than, you know, one cup, or whether it's a medium or, I'm sorry, a grande or a venti, whatever it is, whatever you want to refer to it. I mean, one a day will do it, because if I'm having more than that, I am way too cracked out.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, these days, keep it simple, especially in the summer months, spring, summer months, you know, going with a cold brew, put some almond milk in there,
yeah,
some sugar-free.
So, yeah, how do you make your coffee these days? Because I've gone through, over the years, I've gone through, like, it all. I mean, I started out with, like, fucking light and sweet for sure. Like, a lot of sugar, a lot of milk, and I think it was just upsetting my stomach. So, I eased up on the sugar. And I eased up on the milk, then it went to low-fat milk, now it's almond milk, now it's no milk at all. I just do straight black.
Yeah, no, that's what I've, and you know what, it's funny, when you start doing, you know, when you start easing in to just drinking black coffee, you realize how much you really don't need milk. And then also, too, you know, I've been on kind of a health kick lately, so I'm trying to cut out, like, these really fattening lattes. And
oh, yeah, hell yeah.
These chocolate...
Do you want whipped cream? Fuck no, I don't want whipped cream.
No, I don't need that shit anymore. No, it's way too filling, and you kind of feel bloated, and it's like having a full meal without even realizing you're having one.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, the cold brew's nice, it's easy. You know, I can't do those, you know, when you realize how much milk they're really putting in those lattes, where it's, like, literally just half the cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you want some coffee with that milk. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You're adding everything else.
Yeah.
Come on, you're taking the essence away what the coffee is.
Right. You know? Yeah, I've gotten to the point where, you know, I mean, caffeine, at the end of the day, it is a drug.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're saying that coffee is good for you. It's not bad for you in any way. I think maybe too much caffeine might be bad. Because, yeah, like you said, you get cracked out.
I get jittery. It's just something where, you know, it used to be something where I needed to have that, you know, that extra fixture at the end of the day. Or, you know, that extra pick-me-up. Now, it also depends, too, if it's, you know, been a long ass day, work's been crazy, and it's like, you know, that I could use that extra little jolt. Maybe I'll go in for a small coffee or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not trying to drink like two ventis in a single day.
Oh no. And when I say I know people who, you know, make a pot, drink a pot a morning, I mean, that's cracked out shit.
Yeah,
that's like
yeah, I,
that, That's like insane. Like, how do you drink a pot of coffee in one morning? I mean, but some people, they just take it. It's like anything, right? It's like tolerance with alcohol. You know, some people, you know, I used to hear stories back in the day, like Andre the Giant, the guy would drink like 30, you know, 10, 30 racks and he'd still be fine. You know what I mean? it's all about tolerance. Yeah. I mean, if you can handle it, you can handle it. You know?
I mean, that man is just he's just not human.
Right. Yeah.
Given his size.
Eighth wonder of the world, whatever they call them. Yeah, so it's all about tolerance. I mean, I think I've gotten to the point where 3 cups, that's like a good, that's like the max for me. Yeah. I think anything more than that would probably be like, shit. And then, you know, just, you know, if you're too cracked out, you know, you something to mellow you out. Yeah. A little oil over here.
Yeah.
A little lemon haze.
CBD or anything of that sort.
Yeah,
never hurts.
Yeah. Which, you know, hopefully will be legalized in the state soon. But so you say you go over to NYC Bagel and Coffee and they got the TVs there. You were watching the World Cup there. How awesome was the World Cup this year, by the way?
First off, fucking
holy
amazing. Holy. Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, and listen, I'm never one to like be like so invested or in sports or anything like that. You know, I have my teams and everything.
You were into it.
Oh my God, was I into it? Yeah. I think it was just so exciting just to see, you know, your typical teams not make it, dropping like flies, and you had these other teams just coming through. And it was funny, you know, not to sound like I was, and not to say I was like calling or anything, but there was the one game where I knew France was something special, and it was the France-Peru game. And Peru was unbelievable that game too. I mean, if you actually watch the game, like the speed on both ends, it was just one of the most, it's still to me one of the most exciting, possibly my top two or top three games to watch of the whole World Cup. Yeah. It was absolutely unbelievable. Like, it was just really exciting, back and forth. It was very even keel, but obviously, you know, France pulled away. But I knew right from there that, you know, this team was stuff to look out for. You know, you had a bunch of young guys. You know, I think that they were the second youngest team in the World Cup. I think they're your average.
France? Were they really the second youngest?
Yeah, they were the second youngest. I think it was UK, France.
Yeah, I think England was really young too.
Yeah, England, France, and I forget who else after, but I think the average age was like 23, 24.
Right.
I mean, listen, your MVP, Mbappe, 19 years old, that kid was just incredible. I mean, the accolades that he's getting you know, put up for now is unbelievable. Like, being compared now to Ronaldo, to Messi.
Yeah, he's right there.
Especially with Pele. I'm not sure if you saw it, but Pele, like, commenting.
Gave him, like,
Twitter,
a shout-out or something like that.
I mean, come on. I mean, you don't have to, you know, be a soccer fan to, like, not know who Pele is. And, you know, and to realize, like, how great of an overall athlete that guy was. And for him to, you know, give a shout-out to a 19-year-old kid to, you know, pretty much meet all of his records.
Right.
You know, that's an honor. That's an honor in itself.
Yeah, Kylian Mbappe plays for Paris Saint-Germain, which is in the French league. And is he 19 or is he 20 or 21?
19.
He's 19.
19.
Jesus. I mean, it's so crazy. Like, 19, and I mean, he's like one of the fastest people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he's ridiculous. He was blowing by people. And, that French team, I mean, it's not even just him. It was Griezmann. It was Paul Pogba.
Oh, obviously.
He was one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
They were just a force.
They were collectively just one of the, like, most overall greatest sports teams I've ever seen, like, you know, throughout any kind of league. And to battle through a tournament like that, I've never had so much fun actually watching a sports tournament.
No U.S.
No U.S. Yeah, It didn't even phase us.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even think about it. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God. I mean, we also had, like, the little bet going on.
Right. With the friends. Of course.
That made it a little better. But the games, regardless, the games were great.
Yeah, there was definitely something worth watching, you know. I was just really blown away. And I'm actually very sad that it's over. You know,
Every 4 years, man. It should be every 2 years.
Oh my God.
Why can't they do every 2 years?
Well, you know, they do, you know, they go into Copa, and then they go into EuroLeagues. You know, there's all these
so
other tournaments
on.
In between. You know, you got the Olympics that fall in between. You know, there's so much that happens that's going on. So, it's a shame that it's every 4 years because it really is.
If it was like
so awesome
every summer, let's say, like, every summer they decide to have the World Cup. How incredible that would be! It's the best like month ever. Like, it's just so.
It was. So exciting. Yeah. Like, just, and it was funny. I know we were just like just touching on this before, but like, oh man, like, just aside from like getting up from work in the morning, you know, I would obviously go to this coffee, go to the New York City Bagel coffee shop, and I'd post up there around 8 in the morning.
Right.
You know, just to get my seat, start working away, and, you know, just to be able to watch the games. And then you just saw a coffee shop. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure if a lot of people know. Obviously, I know you do. But, you know, Astoria being possibly, I think, the biggest melting pot per capita in the nation.
Oh, number one.
You know, it's...
That's a fact.
Yeah, it's straight fact. And to not even just go to a coffee shop, but to, you know, go to these bars that are opening up, you know, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Right.
You know, people waiting online to get into these.
And Colombians. Like
just to see, I mean, from Colombians to Czechs. I mean, you saw everybody come out. And not even just this year. I mean, it's you
every
always
year.
See it, you know.
But this place, more than anywhere in the world, in America, Astoria, Queens, we are here. You were talking about Steinway during, what was it, one of the Columbia games?
It was the Columbia game. I mean, we tried, so I remember me and a few of my friends, we tried going in for, we tried going to the Columbia game for, at Studio Square, at one of the beer gardens, one of the bigger, more popular beer gardens here.
And,
you know, we, obviously, I really, really misread how crazy it was going to be to get in.
Right.
You know, so a few of my boys, they got in at, I mean, they went online around 11:30. I wish I had done that for, again, what was it, 2 o'clock
game. 2 o'clock game.
You know,
crazy.
I get there, it's...
Over 2 hours before the game.
Over 2 hours before the game. They got in, we got there like 20 minutes after, there's a line. And that line, we were still on there until nearly the second half, going into the second half of the Columbia game. They were letting only 5 people in at a time.
What other sporting event, I mean, warrants that? You know what I mean?
It wasn't, and it was funny too, because obviously, you know, like, you, again, you have like every type of, you know, you have every type of culture that's here.
Right.
But, you know, it was for that Columbia game where it was just the craziest one.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen like all the other past games, I mean, I went to the Uruguay game, had seen, who else did I watch at that? Obviously, also, Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else we saw at that. But anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you see everybody come out there, you know, and supporting their teams. But, like, that Columbia game was just... You saw every Columbia coming out the woodwork. And obviously, granted, they're probably not even just the Astoria. It was coming from everywhere.
Well,
but
Queens.
They all knew. Yeah.
Queens is the highest percentage of Colombians.
You go into, like, Jackson Heights, you know.
Yeah.
People are coming over.
Corona. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
You know, so people are coming into... They're flooding Astoria. They know it's, like, that's where it is. And
yeah.
Especially over there, there's actually, like, great Colombian restaurants and great Spanish restaurants. So you have a lot of people packing it out. But it was just the most alive thing. It was, like, the, you know, even just walking on Steinway, it looks like there was a parade going on.
Right.
You know, just trying to hop into bars. It was so hard to even... After Studio Square, even we were just waiting online. We couldn't even, like, walking for miles, not miles, but we're walking for blocks,
right,
just trying to find an available bar. I mean, even like, I think there was not a, I think it was like a Pizzeria Uno or something of that sort, that was, or an Applebee's or something. It was, you couldn't even get in there.
Wow.
It was insane. It was opened up. It looked like a legit bar.
Right.
You know, and it was just pandemonium. Cops were there. It literally turned into a parade when they won that game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just, during, you know,
we're having
World
a party.
Cup time and soccer, it's just, and, like, being here in Astoria, it really is the place to be.
It's just the
most fun, energetic thing. Listen, even when I work from home, even in the mornings, if I had to take a few calls or anything, you know, I hear them over at Catch. Like, if, you know, especially with Mexico.
Oh, that's one.
Oh my
that's
God.
A spot,
so,
too. Yeah, yeah.
So, the Mexicans, they loved Catch. And, like, for every Mexico game, you know, even, like, when I had it here on my TV when I was, you know, taking calls from home, you know, like, you know, I have, you know, my patio over here, my balcony, and I hear, like, I just hear my windows are open, and I just hear the crowd, like, just going crazy when they scored that goal, when they were scoring goals. So, it's just a really lively place.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember when you were here, we used to go to the, you know, we would, again, do Studio Square.
Yeah, the whole thing.
You know.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, what was it, 2010, U.S., they beat, what's that country in Northern Africa, it starts with an A? Is it Algeria? No, that's not, is that,
what's
that,
it? No,
that's not a country.
No, it wasn't Ivory Coast, who was it?
I forget.
Yeah.
But anyway, they beat them, and I remember Landon Donovan. He had like the game winning goal, or whatever. And I was in this one. I was working for Manhattan Beer, so I was inside one of the bars on the Upper East Side. The bar was packed, just packed.
Yeah.
And obviously, U.S. is on. Every bar was like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when he scored, it was like one of the great, you know, goosebumps. Yeah. You know, it was one of the greatest sports feelings in my life, like to see U.S. All right, so obviously Yankees. I'm a Yankees, Jets, Knicks fan. Yankees, they've won 5 championships in my life. That's enough for a lifetime. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, I could be good for life. Obviously, I want to see them win, but, you know, I'm talking to a Mets fan here, so, you know, there's no point in gloating. We'll get to that later.
Oh, my God.
But
we really have to.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They won today, so we're
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So, Jets, Knicks, obviously, those are my top two. I want to see win it. Third on my list, I want to see the U.S. win a World Cup. So freaking bad. Will we ever see it in our lifetime? I don't know. I mean, they got Christian Pulisic, who this, you know, they're saying is one of the best players in the world. I don't know. He's another one that's like, how old is he? 19 or 20 or something like that. And obviously, it's unfortunate we didn't get to see the U.S. in this World Cup. But, you know, hopefully they'll be in the next one. Actually, what is it? 2026? It's going to be in North America?
Yeah, they are. North America. That's I forget where they're doing it, actually. Well, obviously, MetLife's going to get one. I think they're doing it in Toronto, I believe it is.
And then Mexico City.
Mexico City, yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be wild.
Oh, it's
so we get an automatic bid. U.S. gets an automatic bid. We'll be in it then. I'm going to wait eight years, but that's automatic. Yeah. Hopefully they'll be in the next one. And,
what country it was, but it was their first World Cup entering. And, you know, but just for the people to be able to experience it. Now it's going to bother me. Like, I need to see what
it was. An African country, right?
No. It was a Spanish customer or a Central American country.
First one. Wasn't Peru.
I don't think it was Costa Rica.
They've been in it before.
Who was it? Now it's going to bother me.
Let's fact check this.
Yeah. It was their first World Cup. And it was just, you know, you saw the heart and soul that they put into it.
Right. Wasn't Iceland, was it?
Iceland.
Was that their first appearance?
No.
It was definitely a Central American country, right?
Yeah, it was Central American or South American. It was like a very small country.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to look. I don't even know how to... Oh, Chile. Nah, not Chile. No, definitely not.
No.
Definitely not that. Probably wasn't in South America because those countries, those guys are.
Yeah.
They're amazing. How about this? Let's do Central America map. So I can like look through it. Guatemala, Panama. Boom.
There we go.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But... Which I was shocked about, but maybe they're better at baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
And listen, I don't know if this would ever happen, but Puerto Rico, you'll never see that, I don't think. But we'd love for it one day, you know, it'd be nice.
Well, Puerto Rico baseball, though.
It's just baseball.
Yeah.
It's purely baseball.
Baseball. You know what I just learned about Puerto Rico recently? A ton of, like, actual people from the States are moving down there now because the taxes are insanely low. Obviously, despite the hurricane stuff, right. It is thriving, so to speak. A lot of companies are going there, and
it will bounce back, but it's going to take a while. I mean, Puerto Rico's going through a lot of turmoil. Aside from, you know, obviously just the rebuild. I mean, the corruption that's awful. It's really heavy on corruption. So it's that's one issue they need to address. But that's been ongoing for ages.
Right.
You know, but yeah, there. I mean, I have to make another trip down there too. It's been ages since I've been there. I think maybe 19 or 20 was the last time I went.
But when you're there, do you feel like you're in a Caribbean island, or do you feel like you're in the States?
No. You definitely do feel like you're in a Caribbean island. You know, especially where you know a lot of my family on my mom's side. You know, not to say it's like third world, but you know, you don't have much, you know, and it's very like, you know, it's like these Spanish, like, housing and, you know, but it's like in these like little shanty neighborhoods, some of them, and, you know, some of them are safe, some of them aren't, you know, you just gotta be careful, you gotta be aware of your surroundings, but I mean, even when I was there, I would walk around barefoot, I mean, you just, like on the concrete, you know, my cousins all down there, and, you know, just, you know, throwing ball or doing whatever. Who the hell knows? But it's but no, it's definitely like you definitely feel like you're not in the States.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess it depends where you are. What's the big city there?
Big city is San Juan.
San Juan.
And you know where you know the my mom's side of the family is from Ponce, Juan Diaz, which is another the second bigger city that's you know, down south, directly down south in the middle.
Right.
So and then you have you know your all your you know, Isabella. There's Aguadilla. There's yeah.
Cuomo was just there.
Was he?
Yeah. I saw it on the TV. The TV was low. I couldn't hear what he was talking about. I gotta imagine it was asking for some relief money or trying to, you know, lobby for that
right.
from our great president,
yeah.
Mr. Trump, who hasn't really shown too much attention to Puerto Rico. Again, I mean, jeez. Politics, it's tough to speculate because we don't really know what's going on, but it seems like he could care less, but I have no idea.
Who knows, man? Really, it's the most comedic thing. I mean, it's sad. It's actually just...
Yeah.
I can't even put it into words. you really can't. I mean, you know, I've talked about it before, but, like, it's fun. It's kind of funny to an extent because it's like, wow, you're, like, really watching, you know, on HBO, like, Veep. You know what I mean? But, like, it's actually real.
Right.
It's really not that funny when it's actually happening.
No, I know.
Watching it on a sitcom, yeah, it's hilarious.
Right.
It's like, yeah, this could never happen. This is so asinine. And then,
right.
Holy fuck, this is actually happening.
Yeah. Like, if they actually followed around Trump, you'd see him sitting at his desk tweeting.
Yeah.
Eating Kentucky Fried Chicken with, like, a 12-pack of Diet Cokes just on the desk. Because he drinks, like, I'm not even kidding, like, 12 to 18 Diet Cokes a day. Like, some shit like that. He's got aspartame up the ass.
Yeah, it's
incredible he's still alive at 71.
He's got that...
Considering all the Diet Coke he's drink.
He's got that Warren Buffett diet where he's, you know, eating McDonald's every day.
Oh, Warren Buffett does that too?
Oh, yeah. That's like his...
Really?
That's his thing. He goes to McDonald's every morning.
What?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Crazy. Yeah. Real money. It's crazy.
It is funny like that. Like, you know, like, what is Trump's secret? His diet has been so bad. I know he doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs, apparently, except for speed pills. Have you heard about... diet pills? Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Apparently, there's a Duane Reade in the city, in Manhattan, that someone leaked out Trump has a prescription there for diet pills. And what these diet pills do, they give him incredible energy. They're basically like Adderall. And that's why he's up all night. You know, he's, you know, 5:30 in the morning, he's already tweeting away, you know, this and that, and caps, and he's just got incredible energy. Think about all the traveling he was doing for campaigns and how much traveling. He's 71 years old.
Yeah. And you know, that's not even just him. I mean, think about just being, you know, your overall, not even just your overall politician, but I mean, running the world or, you know, trying to run a nation. Like, it's a 24/7
right.
job. I mean, it's to anybody who does it, I mean, you can't knock it. It's, it really is, like, it's the hardest job out there. It's... I mean, to be on top of a nation 24/7,
right.
Be on call for anything. You're always traveling nonstop.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how much sleep, any
right.
presidential candidate or any president could have
right.
gotten
right.
or gets in the
yeah.
past. I mean, they were even showing like Obama, like fast forward 4 years, like see how run down he kind of looks. You know, you get the bags under the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have security around you all.
Right.
Of the day, you're not getting that privacy. You're not getting that,
right.
you know, that real family time. You're not getting that real vacation time. Because, well, you know, Trump maybe. Trump's probably getting
oh, yeah.
that vacation
oh,
time.
Oh, yeah. As we speak, he's on the links right now.
The only man golfing.
Yeah.
Taking his time.
Oh, yeah. He's golfed. I mean.
Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Gotta
yeah,
get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Trump International. The best ever.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
No, he actually has a nice golf swing. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, it's, I don't know. And I don't have the answers again. Like, I don't know enough about politics. I'm not going to sit here and talk like, oh, this
yeah,
should be happening. This should be happening. But if he just didn't do the tweeting, I mean, is there anything in this country other than the racism, which has always been here, is never going to go away?
Yes.
Take away the tweeting. I mean, is the economy, I guess, seems okay. I don't know. I just don't. I don't see anything different than from when Obama was in office to now. Nothing seems different, other than the obvious that
you know,
Trump's in office and the tweeting and all the craziness that he says and doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's. I think at the end.
And I'm not trying to praise him for the job.
I'm just saying nothing changes really.
Nothing changes
about back and forth. But you know, there's also that idea of, you know, keeping it keeping you know. keeping it stable.
Right.
You know, just manning the helm, letting it ride until there, you know, can be that, you know, potential fixture. And but, you know, it's, listen, I can't, you know, I'm not a political expert.
Right.
I'm not a political scientist. I don't really know what's, you know, the deeper meaning behind everything. But all I could say is, yeah, it's, you know, you kind of, you know, you like, listen, people were not expecting, like, Hillary to do wonders or fix it. But
no.
It was the safer choice. You know, it was the better choice.
You know what's funny? You hear all this shit about Hillary that she does. It almost seems like she's just as bad. She's just not loud about it. Like, she'll bomb a country, but, like, she won't be loud about it. Meanwhile, Trump will be like, I warned you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he'll tweet about it. Like, sorry for bombing you. Like, you know what I mean?
I
like,
know. It's
that's the difference between both of them is, like...
I know. This is definitely a topic that gets into choppy waters.
Yeah.
Into rough waters. So.
Yeah, but it's so funny. Like, I what I find just hilarious is how angry both sides are, how angry the Democrats are, and just screaming impeach and do this and do that. And then, you know, you have the Trumpsters who are just like, Trump can do no wrong. Like, literally... multiple times he said something and then the next day he says the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And they just follow whatever the fuck he says. I mean, like a cult.
Listen,
it really is.
I mean, this whole thing, that everything that happened last week with the...
with Putin?
With the summit. Which,
with Putin, you mean?
With Putin, yeah.
Oh, like how he... like he's all buddy-buddy and then, you know, he tweets the other day that, oh, well, the Democrat, you know, Russia's for the Democrats now. And it's like, wait, what?
Was, I mean, it
like,
was...
what are you talking about?
Yeah, it was... yeah, it just wasn't a good look. To say the least, it was just not a good day for America.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we start, you know, angering people.
Yeah.
Well,
everyone's entitled to their opinion. I mean,
this is true.
You know, I'm here to have the discussion. I'm here to learn more. I'd like to learn more about, you know, stuff like that. But yeah. Again. You know, I'm not that into it enough to talk intelligently about it, so...
Yeah, no, it's always a sore subject. It's just literally one of those things that best damn well know not to bring it up at the dinner table.
I've had some instances, family, you know, holiday dinners, whatever, where it got a little awkward, you know?
Yeah.
You know, some people from the family, you know, Trumpsters, conservative, and that's their, you know, that's their right.
Yep.
And then some people on the other side who, you know, wanted Hillary or this or that. It's awkward.
Yeah, it really is.
And then you have some, you know, family members who just want to stir the pot, and I just kind of sit there like, God,
because it's
cringeworthy right now, you know?
It's
really divided the country. That's the worst part, okay? I can't talk intelligently about it, but I think that's been the worst part of this Trump thing is that he could say all he wants. He's divided the country.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Yeah.
Obama wasn't doing that. You had the people screaming, you know, that they hated Obama, but it wasn't, the country didn't feel divided. And maybe he didn't do the best job here or best job there, but what Trump 100% has done is he's divided the, it's never been more split. Even when Bush was in office, I mean, it was pretty bad then. But this is the most split the country's ever been.
Yeah, you know, it's gotten to the point where, you know, he pretty much kind of instilled, or not instilled, but, like, you know, he showed people that, you know, don't be afraid to speak up. And
it's
you know, it's the wrong people.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that, you know, it's everybody, like, wrong, but, like, yeah, for a majority, it's been... not good, man. Especially which way
it's brought out a lot more hate.
A lot of
yeah.
Way,
yeah.
You know, way too overdone on the hate.
It's
very sad to see. You know, it really is. You know, a lot of it really is disgusting.
Yeah.
But you know, it's you can only try to perfect the world one day at a time, and you know. But we know it's at the point where, you know, you need somebody, you need somebody in office to help lead that way, not to create a divide, you know. And that's the tough thing about it now. You know, it's just very sad, especially with all, you know, the police violence, and, you know, it's horrible, you know. And the fact that, I mean, especially not even just like the police violence, but now you have people like calling in and complaining about, you know, like, minority groups, like, attending certain areas and, like, that they shouldn't be doing. What the fuck is your problem?
Yeah.
Like, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you know, and the sickening fact, and the more idiotic fact is that, you know, you can't tell me that these other people that, you know, that keep doing it, they're not seeing the other people prior doing it.
Yeah.
And noticing what could potentially happen.
Yeah.
And they're still doing it. You know, it's I mean, the true, like, there's, the true colors are really showing it.
I'm glad you brought that up. So we were talking about Who Is America, Sacha Baron Cohen's new show on Showtime, which is the most woke show I think you've ever seen.
Wow.
Where he shows the true colors of that half of America that we're talking about.
Oh, and you know what's wild? Yeah. It's like, it's actually, you're doing this for, you know, he's doing it for satirical purposes. You know, he's doing it, you know, for, you know, for comedy, you know, he's getting in these wild get-ups. But now politicians are actually, you know, getting into a ton of heat because of it. He's actually thrown a kink into, you know, into a lot of these politicians who have these, you know, and it has to, you know, it says it's, you know, it just so happens to be, you know, Republican parties that are coming out and voicing how they, you know,
right,
how they feel, whatever. And but, like, you know, you're seeing these, you see these politicians that are, you know, on TV on a daily basis, you know, doing their spiels, and then you see, you go on a show, you go on, you know, Who Is America, and which is on Showtime, uncensored, anything goes, and then you're seeing these same people that are getting interviewed, and. Wow.
Yeah.
It is.
The Israeli commando character is the best.
Oh my God.
He makes the guy drop his pants and yell the N-word, and it's like,
it's so bad.
Who was that guy, by the way? I didn't even know who that guy. A lot of these guys are just like, whatever. They're not even really politicians.
This guy was a Georgian, he was a Georgian politician.
Okay.
He was running for one of, I forget what district he was running for.
But yeah, one of those.
He represented down in Georgia. But
yeah.
I mean, listen, people came out at him, both Republicans, Democrats. It didn't matter who you are. You saw it.
Yeah.
It was effed up. And it wasn't even the fact that you had to see it on Showtime. It obviously was one of those things that went viral.
Right.
And it's, and aside from, you know, this show just being, you know, shown on Showtime. And again, a lot of these segments that he's doing, ousting people, and nobody knows until they actually watch the show. They were so secretive.
Oh my God.
I don't even know how, you know, listen, I don't even know how the disclaimers worked or any of that shit happened. I don't know how people signed off on it. You know, it blows my mind, you know, but
like,
now you have people and like, they legitimately fooled him, you know. I don't know if there's any gonna be, if they're gonna be any kind of lawsuits that are gonna come from it.
Right.
Like, I'm assuming there's probably gonna be one down the road eventually.
Dick Cheney or Bernie.
Yeah.
One of those.
So, you know, well, Bernie wasn't that bad.
Bernie wasn't bad. And Dick Cheney.
Bernie was like, Bernie was Bernie. You know what I mean? He didn't get caught saying anything bad, you know? But Bernie, you could tell Bernie knew, like, what the hell was wrong with this guy.
Yeah, that didn't last that long. The Dick Cheney one. Probably the worst thing he said was the waterboarding. Like, he talks about the torture aspect. He's like, oh, the worst we did was waterboarding. And then he has him sign the waterboarding thing or whatever. I mean, crazy. When he goes, when he plays that one character, that, like, sort of, like, hippie or clearly, like, liberal character.
Yeah.
And he goes to the town in Arizona.
Oh, my God.
And he says they're building a mosque. And everyone, that's when you really see some of the real hatred in America. These little pockets of, you know, middle-aged white people who are just, I mean, clearly racist and not shy about it either. I mean,
not at all. And again, it's really disgusting to see in this day and age. You know, like, this really is supposed to be the most progressive era, you know, ever.
Yeah.
And to see that we're taking...
we went backwards.
We're going years back. We shouldn't be living that way, man. Like, we're too evolved for this. We should be we should be way past this.
Right.
You know, there's no reason for us to go back 40 years.
Right.
You know, and, you know, to go through this. It's not right.
No. And it's embarrassing. You know, the rest of the world is kind of looking at us and just like, America is just a dumb country, dumb racist country.
Yeah.
It's really not that. I think there's a portion of it for sure that's like that. But, you know, it just kind of,
we're caught in, you know, idiocracy.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like it's heading that way. For those who haven't seen that movie, Idiocracy, it's basically just a glimpse into the future of just dumb America. And just who is it? Terry Crews is like the president, right?
President Hector Camacho. They replaced water with Gatorade. With Powerade.
I gotta watch that movie again.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, man. that's just kind of kind of where we are, man. It's I mean, this is beyond the racism. There's just so many bad epidemics. Obviously, drugs. I think the war on drugs is probably the worst. Obviously, mental health. You know, these fucking opioids that are out there, these pills that are just flooding. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's not funny, but it's coming in from, you know, maybe it is coming from Mexico or God knows where. It's coming into our cities, being distributed out to the country and the burbs. And everyone's just getting hooked on this shit. And,
right. It's
not. And but like it's not only is it killing people in the burbs and the country who are taking this stuff, but it's causing turf wars in the cities, which is also killing people. Like in Southside of Chicago, where I mean, I think just this year alone, 1,400 people have died.
About
that. That's more like that's more than a war in Iraq or a war in Afghanistan. Like that's just in Southside Chicago.
It's unbelievable.
That's fucking nuts.
And it's funny.
Drug war.
Yeah, it's crazy because there really is like, you know, two sides to Chicago, you know. And I love it. It's a beautiful city.
I know.
Beautiful, gorgeous city. You know, I've come to love it. I've been there a couple times for work now this year.
Yeah.
I'll be going back another couple times later this year. And, you know, but it's a couple of our, you know, one of my clients actually, you know, they put in, you know, they describe Chicago perfectly. It's, you know, it's like a bigger Boston but cleaner New York. But that, you know, down. I'm talking about downtown Chicago.
It's like great, dude. It's like it's on the lake, so like you're at the beach. You're at the beach,
yeah,
and then you can just walk, and you're on like a Fifth Ave there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Their Mag Mile is literally their Fifth Ave, Madison. It's gorgeous. It's unbelievable.
It's so cool. I heard in the winter it's miserable. Oh, I mean, it's like brutal. The coldest place on earth.
When I was there, it was like tail end of.
Oh, you were there in the winter.
The first time I was there, it was. This year was the serious lake effect. February or beginning of March. Oh yeah,
like Plattsburgh cold.
It was brutal.
Plattsburgh cold.
Yeah,
yeah, like that's sad.
And you know, it's
the wind and stuff.
It's the wind.
Windy city. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, it really is that wind coming in from the lake, that Canadian wind that comes down, and yeah, it really does get frigid.
yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, Chicago, even this city, man. I mean, there's still pockets like in the Bronx and Brooklyn that are just like...
Yeah, no, of course.
And it's sad. It's only getting worse. Like, homelessness is getting worse. Not just this city.
Yeah.
Every city. Because gentrification is... It's just making it so bad for people. And
listen, it's not...
Where are they going to go, you know?
It's yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's tough. I mean, you have more people moving to, you know, further out into, you know, these outer boroughs and, you know, where people are going into neighborhoods where they thought they'd never go. I mean, listen,
yeah.
You know... Bushwick, you know, Bushwick 10 years ago, nobody, you say Bushwick, they call you crazy.
Yeah, I'm not moving to Bushwick.
Now you have...
Yeah. Or Bed-Stuy. Or you know?
Bed-Stuy, now you have, you know, half of Bushwick is literally gentrified, the other half is still, you know, needing
hood.
That.
Yeah.
Still hood, you know.
That's like Bed-Stuy, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's going to come along, you know, with, you know, and again, what happens is it's, you know, these old... Worn out buildings, their leases, you know, they're up.
Yep.
People buy them, they see them, you know, years out, they put bids on them, and then they start, you know, they demolish it the second they can.
Yep.
And then once they demolish it, your new lifestyle buildings are going up.
Yeah.
Whether you have new lifestyle buildings or your new boutique hotels in these little, you know, trendy areas. And
right.
Then you got these coffee shops, you have little restaurants, and, you know, now you have an area where people, you know, again, it's just gentrification.
That's,
it's the definition of it.
Yeah.
You know, but you have people that, you know, have lived in these areas, you live, like, you know, they called it home for, you know, 10, 15,
good people. 20
good people
years.
Too. Yeah, good people, you know, but, you know, it's, they can't afford it, you know, they get forced to move out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, listen.
Normal people can't, I mean, regular people who, you know, millennials that moving, they can't even really afford it. I mean, this city is pricing everyone.
Oh, it's
gotta be a millionaire
to
live here eventually.
It's insane. I give myself like another, maybe, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 years. So like, I really got to consider moving out of the city.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's insane.
It's fucked up. Yeah. And it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even recognize the skyline anymore anywhere.
Yeah,
Long Island City or...
I mean, the Long Island City now looks like downtown Miami or something.
Yeah, no, it does.
You know, when I first moved to New York, I did, you know, you didn't see...
There was none of that. It was a Citibank building.
Like five or six of those buildings. Yeah, it was a Citibank, you know.
That was
it. It is. And they're building these buildings. They're making these fast. You know, they're going up.
Yeah.
Once they do the excavation and, you know, they go quick. You know, then they're putting floor by floor a week. Before you know it, you're just like... Well, you're taking the train over, and then you just... That wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we were just talking about our good friend Compton. His, you know, he's got that area over there where he's, you know, trying to open that shop. And I'm like, you know, the Astoria projects aren't too far from here. They're going to be... He's telling me, oh, yeah, they're moving those. what do you mean they're moving those? He's like, yeah, they're moving the projects. Yeah. What, they're just going to pick them up and, all right, let's move them over here. Like, yeah, you know, because they're going to build, you know, probably it's around the water. They want to, you know, they want to make that appealing, you know.
Yeah.
Build high rises and, you know, why not? More people, more and more people from around the world are moving here and it's, you know, I don't know, you know, 20 years from now what the city's going to be like, but I won't be here.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know,
I would love to be. Listen, I consider myself a, I keep moving
farther away. I'm on a lake, you know, an hour upstate, and then, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe I'll keep going. You know?
Listen, you know me, I love the city life. You know, this is, I love the atmosphere. I love the energy, you know, it suits my ADD. You know, but it's, but damn, yeah, there's going to come a time, it's got to end.
The bubble's going to burst.
The bubble will burst, you know.
In a way, it is kind of cool, though, seeing some of this, the new shops and, you know, some of these places are cool, and but in a way, it's kind of just, you kind of feel for certain people.
No, you do, and you also, not only just feeling for the people, you feel for the culture that's in these neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just nice to, like...
No walk. Identity.
Yeah.
Like Astoria here, Greek, right?
Yeah.
20 years from now, is it still going to have that identity? Is it still going to be very Greek? They're all going to move to the burbs, you know?
Again, it's one of this... Yeah. Astoria is one of the craziest melting pots, and one of the biggest melting pots, if not the, you know, and... Just a matter of time where, you know, it's not going to really have that identity.
Right.
You know, it's some of these other areas where, you know, again, Jackson and Corona is like, you know, predominantly, you know, Hispanic. And,
yes.
You know, yeah. So,
yeah. But L.A. So, too. L.A. is starting to get a lot like that. And L.A.'s great, man. I mean,
and it's L.A., you know, I have a...
Take away the traffic. Everyone's... But you know what? The traffic, I think, is worse in New York. Because you could be... Well, hear me out here. You could be, what, like a mile away? And it'll take like 2 hours to go a mile. In LA, it's not like that. Like, the traffic's like moving, kind of. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the thing you need to take into consideration is that LA is... And public transit is absolute garbage.
Right, which I heard they're working on.
And listen, Manhattan, I'm not saying Manhattan's the greatest either, but...
Oh, it's only going worse. See, that's another thing about the city. That's what the city needs to worry about the most, is the subway system is falling the fuck apart.
Yeah, listen, I always loved Astoria. You know, I knew I was definitely coming back here, but at one point I was, you know, last year when I was living in Bushwick, you know, I actually liked living in Brooklyn. I liked living in Bushwick. I got into the city in 12 minutes via the L train, but, you know, it was here, and I was like a 2 minute walk away from the L, 2 to 3 minute walk, and it was just knowing the fact that train was going to shut down, I had to move out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, when's that happen?
Who the hell knows? They keep backing it up.
Probably because they know it's going to be a fucking disaster. What are people going to do? Are you kidding me? You took all these... You spent all these years building up along the L line, right? Yeah. And then you're just going to shut it down for a year, year and a half?
Like, I think... What was it run to? I think... Was it Bedside? Yeah, it's going to run for Bedside all the way to...
It goes from Williamsburg, Bushwick, East New York, Canarsie, I think it ends.
Yeah, Canarsie. Canarsie. So it goes... Yeah, again, it's only going to go from Canarsie to Williamsburg, to the Bedford stop.
Oh, so it's not... Oh, so in Brooklyn it's going to be running, but into Manhattan it's not.
Exactly.
But still, it's still going
to
be a disaster.
Yeah, because again, what they need to fix is, the tunnel issues from Sandy.
Oh.
And again, this is the reason why, like, all right, if you're going to shut it down, shut it down soon.
Shut it down! Yeah.
You know, but you have to, like... Apparently, it's really bad. You know, I know they're probably trying to do their touch-ups and everything. But other than that, you know, listen, I never really had that much of a problem with the L train living there. It was fast. It's always been convenient for me. Came frequently. But now I think, and basically in Manhattan, you know, the L line's going to be pretty much like a shuttle going from...
So, yeah, is that how they're doing it? From Bedford Ave... If you need to go to 8th Ave, like, what do you do?
Yeah,
it's a shuttle? So you sit in traffic
so basically you're taking that bus into the city. I'm assuming that's what's going to happen.
Assuming
you got to go to the MJ, which is
Or the G. You take the G to the 7.
There's your options, but they're not convenient.
No, it's just going to cause more traffic, or more congestion along there. The congestion's already bad. You ever try and get on the 456 at Union Square at, like, this time right now? People are like, you see the heat coming out of the fucking, it is
It's awful. You even need to take your heavy winter coat off in the winter to even try to breathe in there. Yeah, no, it's nuts.
It's just scary to think about, yeah.
It sucks because these trains are so convenient. You know what I mean?
I know.
They, like, bam, to like really be downtown to uptown in a matter of like.
Is there 10, nothing better? Minutes. Yeah, is there nothing better than being like, let's say on 96th Street, and then you have to go to like, I don't know, fucking Soho, and like everything is just flawless. This train. Yeah. You get to the station, boom, the train's coming, you get on that. But like when that just goes bam, 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 like there's nothing better than that.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's times where you're waiting a half hour for this train. It comes, you can't even get on the fucking thing because it's too packed. You gotta wait for another. I mean, it's just
train delays. Yeah. And I think it's like in, I think it was in
train traffic.
In Tokyo, I think if like a train is a minute late, it's like a bad thing.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's like they're
the Japanese. Like, they're
pretty. Yeah, they're pretty.
They're on top of it. They're smarter than us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to technology, they're rather efficient. But yeah, no, I think like their trains are running a minute late or some shit like that. Yeah, I think it's like there's something wrong.
And like, Tokyo is just as big as New York City, right?
Yeah, I think actually.
Or around the same size?
It's around the same size, but I think it's actually, by populace, it's bigger.
Yeah. I think the New York tri-state area, if you just take a metropolitan area population, New York tri-state area is number one in the country.
Yeah.
In the world, I mean. I'm sorry. Not the country. The world. I think there's like, I don't know, 18 to 20 million people in the tri-state area. Now, when you say the tri-state area, you're going Poughkeepsie to the north.
Yeah.
New Haven to the east. Poconos to the west and Atlantic City to the south. I'd say that's probably, I wouldn't even consider Atlantic City. Maybe Toms River, the farthest south in the tri-state area.
Yeah, Toms River sounds about
That's a huge area. I mean, that's a huge land
people,
area.
People do those commutes, man.
People commute from Philly.
They do it.
Yeah.
And you know what?
There's a train that goes. It's like an hour and a half, right? Like
I've done it twice this year.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Because for work, Philly's one of my markets. I think I literally, when we pulled up, I thought we were pulling up into Newark as a stop. Like, it was actually.
How long was it?
I think getting there was an hour 15.
What?
My train back was a little long. My train back was just like, just shy of an
hour and a half. 15. From Philly to New York City.
Yep.
That's incredible.
From Philly Penn.
How much did that cost? That's probably expensive.
I don't know where I paid for it.
Well, of course.
It wasn't that bad. I think it was like $125 each way.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's expensive. I'm saying if you're doing that on a daily basis.
I'm sure there's more of a commuter
plan.
Friendly.
But still, if you want to do it one time, it's $125 each way.
Yeah, I believe
Dude,
so.
That's expensive.
It could have been a little less, could have been like $89, but.
Even that.
And then even,
I thought you were going to say like $40 each way.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I know it's definitely a lot higher. Actually, you know what? I can even probably pull that up for you right now.
Okay.
They also did it for. When I went up to Boston recently, too.
Does Boston have that, too? It's a little longer, though, right?
Boston's a legit still four and a half hours.
By train?
By train.
Oh, so there's no speed train like there is from Philly.
No, there's a speed train, but it still takes that long? There's still stops. I mean, it goes through Rhode Island.
Oh, right.
You know, like, once you get up into, like, the Rhode Island area, it's making more of those stops. I want to actually see if I have any of those.
That's wild.
Yeah, no, it's...
I mean, I think that's, you know, the plan is eventually, like, I know in California they're talking about, like, a high-speed rail that takes you from, what, L.A. to the Bay Area?
Right here. New York Penn to Philly. I left at a 4:03 train.
Okay.
And arrived at 5:23. Literally an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Kaylee was telling me from West Islip. To Penn Station, it's like an hour and a half train.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's actually taken me longer to get from like...
Well...
From Astoria to like sometimes downtown Manhattan.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Like with train traffic. Yeah. To Hoboken.
Forget it. Hoboken, this time's from Astoria to Hoboken, 2 hours each way.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I love my Hoboken people, but God, is that... commute awful.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? All right. Again, when I'm going to Hoboken, it's on the weekends. That's atrocious.
Yeah.
But it's Monday through Friday. I'm sure it's a rather efficient train.
Especially if you work downtown.
Exactly.
If you work downtown.
Oh, I mean, listen. When I used to live downtown in the old apartment.
Yeah.
Back in Battery, you know, I remember it took us. If granted the trains were running,
right.
You could be in Lower Manhattan to in Hoboken Station. 12 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredibly efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We were right there.
Yeah.
And then even going to 33rd Street, if it's like running straight to Hoboken, it's really not that bad of a ride. But
right.
The thing is that there's so much construction always going on. And the weekend, and their weekend service is just horrible. I remember I waited, there were a couple instances where I waited 45 minutes for one train.
Well, the path always has issues. I feel like every time there's a storm, obviously, there's always some sort of issue with that.
There's always something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my commute, when I come from Cortland or Peekskill Station, it's under an hour. It's usually 55-minute train ride. Sometimes 50-minute if it's real quick. Yeah. It's really not that bad.
That ride's not terrible.
I don't mind that. But when it stretches into the hour and 15, hour and a half, that commute kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely brutal. Always trying to catch that express. Even if I, you know, it's been a while since I headed up to Rockland, but
yeah,
definitely overdue. But I know even, obviously, taking that express train up there only
take
about like 30 minutes literally.
Yeah. You know, talking about Tarrytown?
Yeah, going up to Tarrytown.
Yeah.
And then Ma Dukes come pick me up, or my sister come pick me up. So.
Right. Oh, they're building a lot actually along Tarrytown too, like with the new bridge with the Mario Cuomo bridge there. They're building some shit right there.
Joke of a name.
What, the Mario Cuomo bridge?
It will always be Tappan Zee.
The tap.
It, like, I don't care TZ. What bridge it is.
Oh, just like over here. Well, you know what? I take that back. I don't call it really the Triborough anymore.
You call it RFK?
I've transitioned to RFK. So I think eventually Cuomo, I think it will eventually happen.
Yeah.
It'll take a while, but I think it could happen.
It does, or maybe it won't.
I don't know.
It does have to catch on.
Or maybe it won't.
But RFK is just so easy to say. It's gotten easy to say now.
Yes.
You're more accustomed
rolls
to
off the tongue
it.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. And yeah, Cuomo might, who knows, maybe that might be the same. You know, I just found out like recently, and it's not like I was ever like thinking about it, but like Chris Cuomo on CNN is Andrew Cuomo's brother. I just recently discovered that. I was like, oh yeah, duh. Like,
fake news.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go back to the World Cup real quick.
Sure.
You know, we were in our little group chat, our little betting group chat for the World Cup.
Yep.
And Nick brought up a good point about the next World Cup in Qatar. Is it Qatar or Cater?
Qatar.
It is Qatar.
Yeah.
Which is a joke, by the way. That was clearly some under the table money.
Oh.
The World Cup has no business.
That was some oil business. I don't know what happened there, but
business being there. People are dying building these stadiums because it's 120 degree heat.
Unreal. And you know what? Yeah. I kind of want to watch that Real Sports again. I think there was a Real Sports on it.
There was
like a couple years back.
Yeah.
It was just. I don't, what was it, Real Sports, or I think it was like another
one of those. Yeah.
It was
Vice, one of those, but Vice I, yeah, or Real Sports.
Somebody
yeah.
covered it, and it was just awful.
Yeah.
Because I know also, you know, and it's funny because the World Cup kind of ties into the whole how the Olympics were.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, the same shit.
Know, with they build stadiums. Then they just leave it there to rot.
Yeah. Oh, my God. These stadiums that were used like 10 times and then just that's it.
Yep.
What?
So are they, so wait, so is that this, well, I'm not saying for every country, but I'm assuming it's, you know, I know Qatar obviously had to do it. They had to build multiple stadiums.
Yeah.
But,
For a three-week event.
Do that for Russia? I mean, are they going to be using these stadiums?
I think Russia was different because they had the stadiums from the Olympics. So they kind of parlayed it into, okay, we're going to use it for this. And
you would think a country that even hosted the Olympics before in the past, or like that, or, you know, where the World Cup is going to, would obviously just reuse the facility somehow rather than dump another hundreds, millions worth into these stadiums.
But Qatar, I mean, they have no business hosting this. Their soccer team's horrible. I don't think have they ever been in a World Cup? I mean, I have no idea, but they have no business hosting this, and it was clearly they were giving money to, who's the FIFA head guy? Fuck's that guy's name? I forget. He's crooked, obviously.
Yeah.
And it was like exposed. I thought they were actually taking it away from Qatar. I thought that was the plan, they weren't getting it because they found out that they were paying.
I think that was in the rumor mill or something of that sort, but I guess it's still happening, and it's it's another unfortunate thing. Especially, you know what? And that's what's gonna fucking suck. It's gonna be in the winter. It's
during football season.
It's gonna be
American football season.
American football season. Yeah. It's gonna be a toss up. Like, you're gonna have your Sunday sports, but. You know, it only affects it really for a month's time.
Right.
But again, also, footballs are such a short season. You're really talking about, like,
what, 16, 18 games,
and now you have, I mean...
It's been enough.
World Cups of games, they're going to go quick, but, You know, you don't have. I wonder if they're gonna do like they'll do well ratings wise.
And is it gonna be on Fox? First off, is it gonna be on Fox? Because NFL is Fox too.
Oh wow!
So that means
FS1. I didn't even think about that.
FS1 is gonna have to take the World Cup. So the ratings probably won't be. I mean, the ratings.
There's definitely gonna be. I mean, they have time to think about it, but I mean, it's gonna suck.
Yeah, it's just not. It's like, not gonna feel the same.
Like especially you know us since college, we've experienced. What, two, three World Cups? Two World Cups, really, in a sort like here in Queens.
Right.
In
the summer.
Three. Oh, yeah.
So, remember 2010, we were playing soccer up at West Nile Field. How awesome was that?
That was amazing.
That was the best. At West Nile Elementary. Shit. Who was it? It was me, you, Paul.
Ryan.
My brother. My brother was still in New York.
Yeah.
Did we ever get Piz?
I'm sure Piz.
Yeah, I think Piz. Yeah, we got Ryan. Who else did we get? Oh, Max. Yeah. We got Maxime, the goalie.
Yeah.
He was dirty.
We had the whole crew, man. Yeah. We had the whole West Nile crew. You know, yeah. Everybody was over
How
there.
Fun was that? I mean, that it would be a, humid as fuck, and we'd be dripping, but it was great. You know, it was like our little workout. It was a
fantastic workout.
It got competitive, and we used to pull your car on the field and blast and blast beats or fucking while we're playing.
Yeah, no,
oh, that was the best.
It was great.
That was the best.
Oh, man. Yeah. Those summers. You know, thanks for bringing that up, just because it's us. You know, those suburban summers are fun. You know,
right.
Kind of.
Well, that's why I like living up there, man. Because I could just, I just feel more.
Yeah, you got
spread out. I can do more. I can, you know, it makes my runs better. You know, I got the lake obviously right there. And the air's better. It's just,
Listen, if you know, one day, you know, let's say if I come into some money, I definitely need my New York apartment. I need my getaway.
My summer getaway.
I need to have both. Because I love summer city in the summertime.
Oh, just, I don't.
I love it. I don't
it's
know.
It's so dude. Fucking humid, dude. It's like 10 times more humid here, too.
God, you know what? There's just something.
Everything stinks.
There's just something about it. I don't know. There's just something energy-wise. Okay. It's always.
Well, it's nice to look at.
It's nice to look at.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the women are nice to look at. But yeah, hey, to each his own, man.
Yeah.
I'm such a bitch when it comes to humidity, and it's gotten worse over the years. I hate it. Ask anyone that knows me, I'm constantly complaining about humidity. I can't stand it. You like it, though.
Yeah, you know, I don't.
I know Paul.
I don't favor it. Well, Paul's unique.
He likes to sweat. And listen, there's nothing wrong with sweating.
Loves humidity.
There's nothing wrong with sweating. Sweating's great. Sweating's essential. But when you're working out, not when you're standing outside on a phone call or something.
So I think this summer doesn't really beat on me too much because I'm obviously not commuting in a full on like dress shirt.
How do people do it in a suit?
Like how I have been like over the past 7-8 years. You know, I'm not doing the whole dress shirt with slacks or anything. You know, working from home, I get to be in more comfortable clothing. But still, I mean, just to be able to shower in the morning. To get on the subway platform and to start like sweating like you just got out of the gym, and especially when you're in your work clothes, if you're in your button down shirt or you're in your slacks and you're going there,
like who,
and you're sweating, you have pit stains, it's terrible.
Who do we know that wears a suit to work?
Oh man,
or close to it.
Now
I feel like I don't know anybody.
I don't know anybody anymore. I feel like
we were gonna name someone real quick there. I can't think of anyone who wears a suit to work.
No, I think we all work in casual type of settings.
Yeah.
The only time I have to wear is like when I'm actually at the office in Nevada. So.
But the point I'm trying to make is like these guys, like people who work down in like Wall Street or something like that or in finance jobs, like they have to wear like a suit to work every how do you do that in the summer here? Like everything's got to be just like soaked, like inside the.
I used to do it. It was brutal.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, you used to do it. That's right. You used to have to wear.
It sucked.
Yeah.
Going outside sucked. You didn't want to go outside for lunch.
Yeah.
You wanted to order in.
Right.
You know. But now I don't really mind it. Now I like being in the neighborhood. I go out. But I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Right. But this is. I mean, this is the East Coast. It's humid as fuck.
Yeah.
The West Coast, you get the dry heat. It's great. It could be 90s, but it doesn't feel like it because, you know, you could be in the shade in the 90s and it's like nothing. But if you're in the shade here, you're feeling that humidity. It's not like any different, really. It's a little cool down because you don't get the sun blazing on you.
Yeah, no.
But what's going on in the West Coast right now is it's a little alarming. I mean, it's in like the hundreds now, which is not good for anyone.
Yeah, no.
Wildfires and stuff.
Yeah, that's... I know... one of my colleagues, he covers, you know, parts of Arizona and then going into, going into Northern California and then going into Southern California. And like, I know it's just getting, you know, there's been wildfires,
right?
Like crazy. Yosemite, I think, has wildfires right now.
Yeah, if you live inland, it's bad. Yeah, if you're coastal, like my brother, you know, he's in Long Beach.
Yeah,
he's fine there. He's fine. Marina Del Rey.
Even a couple months ago with those fires breaking out in where? Santa Barbara, was it?
Yeah, which we actually have some friends moving there.
but
Santa Barbara's a beautiful place. No, it is coastal. It is. Maybe more inland, you're thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's happening more inland.
I think it was around that area.
Yeah.
You know, there were videos on like...
Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, we're driving up the 405 or whatever, and in the mountains, it was like all on fire.
It looked like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
It was insane.
And people are just commuting to work.
you're talking about people, like, it's still, like, in the afternoon, and the fire's going on, and people driving through it. It looks like it was the dead of night, and just wildfire. It looked like something out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It was really...
But that shit's going on. I mean, that's going on, I think, as we speak, like, inland. Like, if you live inland in the mountains... it's run for cover, then there's mudslides. I mean, there's a lot of bad shit. For as nice as Southern California or California in general, there's a lot of bad shit. I mean, that's San Andreas fault, you know,
anytime.
That could split at any time, and The Rock isn't saving all of us. I'm telling you right now, Dwayne Johnson is not saving,
Oh, man, from that.
Have you seen Skyscraper?
I have not. I still need to see it out of curiosity. I just need to see it. It's The Rock and...
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but just the advertisement is amazing.
Him hopping from like that one building to the other, and it's just like...
I forgot where we all were at, where we were watching it.
Was it the Super Bowl?
I think it was the Super Bowl.
Where did we watch the Super Bowl? Were we at Knicks again?
No, we watched it at...
Where the hell did we watch the Super Bowl?
Wow. I don't... Anyway.
Yeah. Wait, who won it? The Eagles, right?
Yeah.
Eagles, Pants. Shit, where the hell? No, we did watch it in Knicks.
Oh.
Yeah. We did.
Oh, shit. Nick and Caitlin. Yeah. Gary was there.
Gary was there. Yeah.
But anyway, we see that, that Skyscraper trailer comes on or whatever it was.
Amazing.
Just when he ran, we all didn't even like talk about it. We just hysterically started laughing.
Yep.
I think everybody in the room, it was just one of the funniest things to see.
Future President Dwayne Johnson?
Future President.
Now, if he's the president, would he be Dwayne the Rock? Would he be President Rock? President Johnson?
President Johnson.
Right? Like Lyndon B?
Yeah.
I don't know. He actually wants to do it. Apparently he has, you know, a lot of these people, like Oprah, I think immediately was like, no, it's not happening.
Yeah.
But like, or did she say that? Or maybe, is she interested? I don't know. Anyway. But like The Rock, he has political aspirations, so it's not far-fetched. Goblin in there, you know.
nothing is far-fetched these days.
Right.
It seems.
Right. anything's on the table, really, in America.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Have you been watching Succession on HBO?
I haven't.
Oh my god.
Is it that good?
It's
like
so
you know,
good.
I didn't know.
Better than Billions.
Wow.
Yeah. And I say better than Billions, people are comparing the two, because there's similarities to it. It's like New York City.
There are definitely similarities. I mean,
and
with
money,
that white collar,
power.
Like,
yeah.
What's going on. And,
yes.
You know, with, you know, trying to be a conglomerate.
I think overall,
the markets.
HBO is just better than Showtime shows.
Well, you know
the
what?
Quality.
I mean, Showtime is obviously a product of HBO.
Yeah.
But I feel like HBO, it's so hard for them to do no wrong, and it actually was just, I was finally like, I was so happy to hear that they got greenlit for the quote-unquote Game of Thrones prequel.
Yeah, so tell me about that.
Yeah, so apparently it's supposed to, you know, as I read up on it, it's supposed to take place, I think, 1,000 years before this timeline just obviously came and went, and... I think it's going to be based around the
Valyrians.
Yeah,
like the beginning of the Valyrian. Well,
it was like it was almost like their apocalypse. I'm like blanking on
Valyria. Back in Valyria.
Yeah. So
Because Valeria doesn't really exist anymore.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
It was in Essos.
Yeah, yeah. It like something.
Essos or Essos?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think it was Essos. Essos.
No, I'm just trying the pronunciation. Is it Essos or Essos?
Essos.
It is Essos. Okay, got it. So Valeria was in Essos. Doesn't exist anymore.
I don't know if Valeria was in Essos. I feel like Valeria is Valeria, and I'd have to look at that again.
Yeah, right.
A little, obviously, when you don't watch Thrones, after a while, you get a little rusty on the knowledge.
Oh, I know. It's been a freaking year.
I'm actually about to do another binge because it's just that amazing.
I know. We've been waiting fucking... I watched the whole series in a month.
First of all, kudos to you.
Thank you.
Like, listen, I killed that series, but I couldn't do it in a month.
All of August, man. I started August 1st and ended August 30th or 31st.
And that's how I got into it. I had put it off for so long up until the fourth season, and then... You know, obviously, everybody, the whole talk of the whole Red Wedding, and
right,
I was just like, all right, let me give this shit a shot. And, you know, you watch the first couple episodes, you're like, okay. And then by the ninth episode and how shit breaks out, you're just like, what the fuck? And then you're like, they just really went up and did that. And listen, I mean, it's a little late if you haven't watched the show, but spoiler alert, when you kill the main fucking character, nine episodes
I think people
deep,
should know that by now. Yeah.
When you kill your main character nine episodes deep, you know this show is not fucking around.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, whoa, how is this story going to continue?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you're now going seven seasons deep. And you're just like, holy shit, the chain of events of just what happened from what sparked
One continuous story is what makes it special too.
And you know what's crazy too? It obviously I'm happy that they did it over the past couple seasons, because even, you know, prior to, or even when I was just getting into it, you know, I had a buddy of mine, a coworker of mine, you know, who would obviously would tell me, you gotta watch it. And then when I started getting really enthralled, and when I caught up to it, then all the, you know, then people who were reading the books were starting to piece together the backstory.
Right.
Not like, the, you know, that goes thousands of years. Oh, and by the way, it's, I think it was the boom or the dawn of, or something of the Valeria.
That's what it's going to be called?
Yeah, no. It's not going to be called that, but that's the doom of Valeria.
The doom of Valeria.
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
When, like, this crazy, like, catastrophic event happened randomly.
Okay.
And...
I mean, regardless, I'll watch it. I don't care what it is.
I think that's what it's going to be about. I can only speculate, because, again, this is something that happened, like, thousands of years prior, and I think that's...
More dragons, probably.
Yeah, well, that's the time era of when they were around.
Yeah.
So I think, so it's...
they were around. Can you imagine if dragons were just around?
Dinosaurs.
Like, flying dinosaurs, like, breathing, shooting fire on, like, skyscrapers.
We can get into Jurassic Park in a little bit.
Wait, have you seen Jurassic World?
Not the second one. I've seen the Jurassic World.
The recent one, Fallen Kingdom.
I haven't seen Fallen Kingdom.
Okay, because I saw it. It's fun.
I've only seen the first Jurassic World.
Wait, okay.
Yeah, it's same still with Chris Pratt.
Man, that Chris Pratt dude. I mean, wow. I must say, he's an impressive guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know, if I was a gay man,
he's got Chris it all, Pratt, man. He's got it all.
Especially in that movie, because he's just like, you know, it's like,
man,
talking to raptors, like, hey, calm down. You know, like, he's controlling raptors.
But I think what you need to give a shot, I don't know if you do it, but the Marvel, you have to give Marvel a shot.
Yeah, I'm just not like...
Dude, I thought the same way, I'm into it. It's, I mean...
My dad's real into it, Mikey's real into it.
All the Marvel movies, if you watch them chronologically, from the first one was Iron Man.
I've seen Iron Man.
Yeah, but then you just, some of them, listen, not to say that there are a lot of good ones out there. There are some shitty ones.
Right.
Iron Man 2 wasn't that great.
Right, no.
Iron Man 3, just as much.
Yeah.
You know, and what sucks is that, well, I'm really getting off the topic here, but just to say, like, even Iron Man 3, it started off very promising. You know, it had that dark feel. But then it got, like, really fucking cheesy halfway through, and you're like, wow, like, the way the story turned, it just ruined it.
Yeah.
But it started off very promising. It started off very dark. It had like a terrorist theme to it, and then when you towards the middle of the movie, it just, I don't know. But going to Chris Pratt though, I mean, the Guardians movie,
I heard those movies are great.
To watch. They're actually a lot of they're fun movies to watch, and you know, to be able to, you know, I was never really into the whole Marvel thing, but then obviously just starting to chronologically watch a lot of these films. They are fun movies to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and they're good lengthy. It's great storytelling, actually.
Right.
And like how they get pieced together. You know, Black Panther was fantastic.
Oh, I saw Black Panther. It was good.
Loved it. I
he gets his ass kicked in it, though.
Oh,
Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he like, got, for a superhero, he really but gets you know, his butt whooped a bunch.
But you know what? You don't want that, like, that typical superhero that's going to fucking, you know, do, you know, yeah, that's going to fucking never be defeated or never have that weakness, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I wish, you know, I wish I could say the same, with, you know, that DC was doing the right thing with, you know, Dawn of Justice, but that was atrocious.
Was it? Yeah, see, I feel like it's like every other Marvel movie sucks. That's the thing.
No, well, like, the Marvel movies are great. I mean, like, going from, like, you know, Captain America, like, Civil War, going into Avengers. Like, they were all great movies.
Right.
Like, everything, like, the whole storylines, they all tied in great. You just gotta stick with it. You just gotta watch. It's just one of those things.
Is Venom gonna be a Marvel movie? Because I'm looking forward to that.
I think Venom is like its own. I think Venom is, yeah, it's Marvel, but I think it's like own thing.
It's not, it has nothing to do with the.
I don't know if it's tying into this current universe that's happening.
Okay.
I don't know, like, again, I'm not sure what's gonna happen, but apparently it's supposed to have this dark twist, this dark appeal to it.
Sure.
Very intrigued on how that's gonna turn out.
Right.
What's his name? It's,
Tom Hardy. Yeah. I mean, so that's already that's a good casting.
Yeah.
Right there.
You're Bane.
Yeah. Bane, now you're Venom. I mean, growing up, there was two guys I liked, Batman and Venom. Those are my guys.
So yeah, you're right there, DC and Marvel.
I'm pumped for that one. I'm a little skeptical because Spider-Man 3 that had Venom.
Yeah, that was so bad. You're going back to Tobey Maguire.
Well, not Tobey Maguire. I know who you're talking about.
Not Tobey Maguire.
Topher Grace.
Yeah. Well, Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man, but like those movies. But yes. Topher Grace was Venom. He was Brock.
Yeah, yeah. Like, really? Like, you're casting him? Like, Eddie Brock was not like jacked, but like Topher Grace, like a nerdy kid. It made no sense, that casting. It was stupid.
Well, like, yeah, Brock was your jock. You know what I mean? In the cartoons. In the comics.
He's like this tough guy journalist. I think it was the San Francisco Chronicle or one of those things. And
that's where he was from, and then when he came to New York or something like that.
Well, he comes to New York sometimes. I think this one's going to be based just San Fran. I don't know.
Yeah.
I only saw the trailer once, so.
Yeah, I got to see it again.
I think it comes out this fall, but I'm pretty pumped for that.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah.
But get into the Marvel movies. I mean, but like, even, I mean, I know we just went way off topic, especially with Game of Thrones. But yeah, excited for Thrones to, you know, for the season to come back. It's been, I got that itch. It sucks that it's not here this year.
Yeah.
You know, we've had good shows. You know, again, HBO did it right with.
They kill it, man. Have you been watching Sharp Objects?
No, I haven't been watching Sharp Objects. No.
So it's the same, the books, Katie read the book, the same author that did Gone Girl.
Looks dark as fuck.
Dude, it is dark. So this is the best comparison I can give. It's True Detective season one meets. Did you see three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri?
No, but I know like one kind of shit.
It's like that movie mixed with True Detective season one, and it's just dark. It kind of sucks watching with Katie because she knows like what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So it's just like she'll ask me after like every episode like, so what do you think? And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you about it because all you'll do if I say what it is, you'll give a you know who I think did it, whatever. You'll give me a look back and I'll know exactly if I'm right or wrong. Like,
yeah.
So, but I think it's 6 or 8 episodes, so it's not that long. So, but it's really good. Amy Adams is amazing. It's really dark. It's creepy. You know, it's your typical, like, you know, like True Detective season one, you know.
Oh, man.
Southern, you know,
now that's supposed to be coming back, but I think something happened with the, I feel like this is what happened. Something happened with their last director. They walked off or some shit like that.
I don't know.
I guess, honestly, I feel like at this point, the show's cursed. I think it's just done after this past season.
I like the concept of this season. It sounds like it's going to be very similar to season one. It's a state police investigating some cult type murders, which is just like, you know, season one. Mahershala Ali's gonna be in it, who's a great actor. I like him a lot, so I'm pumped for that. Stephen Dorff's gonna be in it.
Really?
Which is a throwback.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of random. And then I'm not really sure who
talk
else.
About what, Blade?
Yeah, right? I mean, how old is that movie? I mean, so it's I have no idea what's going on with it, that's coming.
It's that last True Detective season. I don't even know what the fuck to say about that. It had its moments, and then it just crashed and burned.
Yeah, it was one of those things like, whoa, this is headed towards something good, and then it's just like, wait a minute, well, what happened with that guy? What happened with what happened with this storyline? Like, why is the dad connected to this guy? Like, you never got into that. It was just
bad, and then obviously you had every actor, even after it complaining about it. It was just not good. The criticism it got was just awful.
Yeah.
Just wasn't that season one. And season one was fucking...
amazing. Maybe the best...
It's so twisted, so dark, disturbing.
Like, everything about it was incredible.
Shit.
The acting.
Oh my God.
The cinematography.
Yeah,
everything.
Everybody did such a fantastic job.
I
remember there was obviously... There was the one scene, I remember, where they broke into...
The housing projects.
The reason the housing projects, and I think it was for, the white supremacists. But, like, they did how, like, with Matthew McConaughey, like, how they shot. As you get older, you start appreciating these little things.
It was like the continuous scene.
One shot. They do this one shot pan. And like going from room to room, and it just like you were in the action.
Amazing.
Like, and you know, and again, like it's like not only that True Detective wasn't the first time you saw that. Obviously, Game of Thrones has done that too multiple times. When they did the battle at the wall, when they broke in, like they did the pan over of everything, of all the shit going down. It wasn't your jump clips to different fights. It was just, let's get all of this. Let's get everybody involved in this madness that's happening.
Yes.
So again, great directors. I mean, HBO just knows how to fucking do shows.
It's not TV. It's not TV. It's HBO. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's really a real thing. You could just tell that, like, Showtime, they have great shows, but you could tell it's a TV show. HBO, you can't sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, I think Showtime and how HBO does it, and I think they know how it's like, you know, it's that piggyback network.
Yeah.
But I mean, they do a great job with, I mean, fucking Billions is fantastic.
It is. It's a little comical sometimes.
It's comical because of how coincidental everything is.
Wendy's married to this guy, for this guy, and they hate each other.
It's definitely over the top of what the, you know, of the degree of separation that there is between everybody.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, like, even with that being said, how this season ended was, I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Well, that's a little more believable than them being enemies.
Yeah.
But you know, Axe and Chuck. And
you know what's funny too? You kind of saw it leading that way.
Right.
Throughout the season. Once you get into the middle of the season, you're like, wow. You start realizing, and I know I said this to myself, I was just like, what the fuck ever happened between Chuck and Axe? What's going on between them now? Like,
they didn't really focus on that.
Yeah, they were really, and you start like, when you start watching the show and you're just like, you see all these new scenarios start happening, these little side stories and these little side quips and these beefs happening. Now it's just like, all right, you know what? And all of a sudden, like, the last episode comes about and you see both... Once you realize that both Chuck and Axe were both fucked.
Yeah.
In those going on those last two episodes.
Yep.
You knew... You kind of had an inclination of something was going to happen
between
them.
Yeah.
And then... Right when what's his wife's name? Right when
Wendy
answered the door.
Yeah,
I knew it was Axe.
Yeah,
I was just like,
yeah.
You know what? They don't need to show me Axe. I know it is. And honestly, great way to end it.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to fucking end it. Because again, you know, you watch it the rest of the season until again, like if you rewatch it, there's, you know, the dialogue between them and, you know, the rift for them going after each other.
Right.
You know, it's not there anymore.
Right.
You know, they all have their little things going on. You know, you have Axe dealing with, you know, the Eastern European gangster, you know, who's worth...
John Malkovich?
Yeah, he's dealing with Malkovich, who's worth billions.
Yeah.
You know, it's just madness how everything happens.
Yeah.
And now with, you know, Axe's sidekick, or not sidekick, but Axe's prodigy, you know what I mean, that he was really bringing up, Taylor.
Yeah.
You know,
she's starting her own thing.
You know, like... And you saw something was going to happen too. She was the one that was going to take action in some kind of fucked up way.
Yeah.
And I couldn't buy her fucking tears at that one episode where she went to Wendy all dramatic. And I'm like,
right.
Something about this doesn't feel right. And then that whole thing where it's like, you kind of knew she was doing something. She was going to get back at Axe somehow because he really fucked over that guy.
Right.
She liked. And I forget what happened really between that. I guess that they cheated him out of a deal.
There's no loyalty in that show.
Yeah,
everyone's just fucking everyone.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Fuck,
you know,
everyone.
Just, fuck everybody. Get to the top.
And
me.
And that's kind of what Succession is like. It's like, you know, it's so good. So I don't even know. It's Adam McKay and Will Ferrell are executive producers on it.
Yeah, actually, you mentioned it to me. I think we initially talked about this weeks ago. But no, that's actually...
You've seen The Big Short, right?
Seen The Big Short, yeah.
So it's exactly like The Big Short, like the way the acting is, the way the film, like the filming is. It's exactly like that, but this time, you know, just the storyline's different. But it's, you know, it's this family. They, you know, the father started this company called Waystar. It's like a, I guess, like a production company, whatever. And it's, you know, multi-billion-dollar company. And he's 80 years old, and he's losing his mind. And, you know, he's got four kids, and, you know, one of them, but two of them are trying to own the company. And it just talks about, like, just the and it's based off some families, you know what I mean? It's based off some other famous families, you know, like the Trumps or, like, you know, like...
I'm sure it taps into the whole Madoff thing, you know, because also, too, when I saw, you know, when I watched that Madoff movie.
Right, the HBO movie.
That HBO did.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. Depressing.
Very depressing. Yeah. Very dark. Very disturbing.
Like Paterno, too. That was very depressing. Did you watch
honestly,
that one?
Honestly, I didn't even want to watch it.
Yeah, it's...
Once I heard the reviews of everybody was giving it, I'm like, fuck this. Yeah. I'm not
definitely
even
depressing.
Bothering this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And after hearing on a radio show that you obviously put me onto with the Stugatz. I mean,
Levitard with the Stugatz. Yeah,
yeah. After hearing, like, Pacino's performance of, like, how they were fucking, how he was portraying Paterno, just, like, yelling at, well, not even yelling, like,
going around.
It's just like, typical Pacino. It's like, you know it's him. It's like, no character development.
Right.
Like, there's not really getting into it.
Yeah, yeah.
He hides it, shrugs it off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it actually caused, I know, even though I didn't watch, I know it caused a lot of uproar. Outside of it, you know, because obviously a lot of people were coming out, like, was like, you know, saying if Paterno was in the wrong or the right after that, and how fucked up it was. I mean, regardless, it's a very dark and disturbing and fucked up situation. But yeah, that's definitely one of those movies where, you could have gave it the chance, but I couldn't watch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It was like a one-time watch for me, and that's probably what it'll be limited to. Yeah. Techno time.
Oh man, we are overdue.
So that playlist we start on Spotify, by the way, I don't know why we can't share it, but you know, if anyone's listening, Spotify, if you're a Spotify expert out there, please teach us how to how to figure that out. But yeah, that playlist just keeps on growing, man. I mean, what are we at, like 180 tracks?
Yeah,
it's fun. We got everyone contributing now, adding tracks.
Yeah, I think we're just shy of like 200 or something like that.
Yeah. But, man, I've totally fallen out of the actual, like, raving game, man. So you're going to Elro. Tell the people about Elro.
Oh, man. It's, I can't even describe the show. Like, it's one of those shows that you have to be there for. And, you know, we go back with doing these shows. You know, I can't even count how many shows we've done collectively and, you know, and how much money we've actually put into
going back to going back to 2009. Yeah, like, I mean,
between flying to Miami and, you know, going to, you know, transfer, like, you know, commuting to all these, you know, random places across the nation. I've done the Coachellas and, you know,
we never even did Ibiza, which is crazy considering how into it we were.
It's insane. Yeah. And it's definitely going to be a trip that's on the radar that could actually potentially happen maybe this September.
Yeah.
Or probably just going to hold off until next winter, but next summer, but I do have a trip lined up this September. Excited about.
Who needs a visa though when you have Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Right? Brooklyn is like the techno capital of the world. I mean, Berlin and Brooklyn, right?
And I've done them both.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, the techno scene and the house scene in Berlin is just, that whole city is just techno.
Yeah.
It is like, when you go to that city, it is, it's the life of it. You know what I mean? People, it's that city that, you know, it's not dirty by any means, but it has like that Brooklyn feel throughout the whole city.
Yeah.
You know, and people, like, there's graffiti over it, but like all over the place, especially with like the Berlin Wall. But it's great because with Berlin, it's, people don't want to get rid of any of that.
They let it happen. They embrace it.
They see it as true art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, you go up, like, there's, especially with the Berlin Wall, I mean, one of the things is, you know, people from all over the world, they fly in, graffiti artists from all over the world fly in to, like, you know, to tag up the wall, to do a mural, to do any kind of portrait. really fucking awesome to see. I have a, you know, I posted a few pictures on Instagram, but I have a ton more from that. It was just really, like, you know, you take it, like every five steps, you're seeing one of the coolest paintings you'll ever see in your life.
Sure.
But Berlin is a awesome fucking city.
Yeah.
I definitely would love to go back.
But we have Brooklyn.
They know how to do it. You have Brooklyn. You got Brooklyn. It's a stone's throw away.
I haven't even been to more than half of the techno clubs in Brooklyn, though. I know a lot of the times it's just a warehouse that they...
Yeah, it's pop-up warehouse shows. Yeah. You know, you got your Output, you got your Verboten now. And,
well, no, it's called...
not Verboten, Shemansky.
Shemansky, yeah.
You know, still the same. But yeah, Shemansky, they actually... you know, they delve more into the... They do play with in the EDM segment.
Okay.
You know, they mix it up, you know. But then you have another club way out in Brooklyn, Analog. I think it's... I forget.
That's in Sunset Park?
I think so. Yeah. It's deep out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, went with a buddy of ours, and went saw Proc and Fitch out there.
Right.
Ages ago. Almost about over a year ago.
That was a while ago.
Actually,
yeah.
No, it was actually last... No, it was two summers ago, that thing, right? When
two
did he
summers?
Move, when did you move? When did he move into the apartment? I totally forget. When did
May,
you guys move
last
back?
May or yes. June.
Why does it feel like it's been 2 years?
No, it's a year ago.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, holy shit.
So, yeah. Wow. So, where's El Row at? Is it at Brooklyn Mirage?
So, El Row's going to be at Mirage.
That place is awesome.
It's the best.
Place is sick.
It's the best venue.
You don't feel like you're in Brooklyn. You feel like you're...
It is a Mirage. You're in there.
Outside, open air.
You know, it's crazy because... So, I had done... Brooklyn Mirage has actually been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
They went a summer. They were closed down, I remember, for majority of the summer because of some alcohol permits that happened. And obviously there was like funding and obviously, some other violations that were happening that, you know, that violated code that couldn't let them run. But
most clubs, yeah.
The first Mirage that I went to wasn't at the one where it is now. It was at a different warehouse, but literally like maybe two blocks over.
Right.
Moved it over to this one. Same concept. I mean, they do such a great job. They put up these massive walls that look like, you know, something from from Egypt or something from like a Middle East.
Yeah, it's wild.
You know, and the decor, the what they put into it, and I'm just talking about Mirage itself.
Yeah.
I'm not even going into El Row yet because that's a whole other fucking story.
Yeah. It's like a carnival. Right?
Yeah. It's the wildest. It's tough because I've said this about so many parties. You know, we've been to a bunch.
We've seen the best of the best. Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen some crazy shit. I mean,
nothing. Does anything beat Swedish House on South
Masquerade?
Beach?
Yeah. El Row would
beat that.
El Row.
Being on fucking South Beach.
That was nuts. It was still nuts from what we've experienced. Hands down, it's still still possibly the top three sickest parties I've ever been to.
Right.
Especially for the time of what the music was, had that better sound.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like your natural sound that was going in. You know, it wasn't your progressive. It wasn't just like your loud EDM then. You know, now.
No, they were.
It was that progressive.
They were still
like,
good
cool,
then.
Like, yeah.
They were good
it was
then.
They was that mix between that techno, that house, that progressive. It was a.
That
was
sound
a great
that we
blend.
Really grew to love and like, yeah.
Yeah. And then, again, you know, like all good things, you know, it, you know, comes to an end where the, you know, the bubble just goes for that burst, you know, the big room, you know, comes in and dominates all.
Yeah.
Although I did listen to the Hardwell set last night at the gym and to get some kind of enjoyment out of it. I know it's still fun to listen to energetically, but you know, I can't do it all the time.
I've been intrigued by doing that. I mean, my taste is completely gone to house, techno. Now, I'll say this. I do enjoy some of the pop deep house stuff. We were listening to a Spotify playlist, Katie, Kaylee, and I, going up to upstate a couple weekends ago. And it was like this like deep house meets pop playlist. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I'll go with that aspect. It's some of this like big room, stupid sounding EDM that I just fucking can't stand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because now you hear it in bars everywhere. Once upon a time, you weren't hearing it in bars.
No.
Now you can't like go to a bar and not hear it when it's a Friday or Saturday.
EDM
night.
Is mainstream now.
It is very well mainstream. You know, but to each his own, it still kills it. You know, they're still doing festivals. These festivals are still producing money.
Yeah, we thought this whole thing was just like a shtick, right? Just the whole dance scene in America. It's always been big everywhere.
Yeah.
But like we thought this was going to come and go. It's still going very strong.
It's still going very strong, especially, you know, like it's also the vibe, and it's not even just New York anymore. All these cities get involved now with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, and I'm not even just talking about the EDM aspect. I'm talking about like the actual deep, the techno aspect. You know, you have, you know, obviously, you know, Detroit and Chicago or, you know, and New York are obviously among the founding cities in the States, you know, for, you know, for that techno scene, you know, finding those warehouses, you know, in New York when back in the day it was really predominantly, even also in Chicago too, and Detroit too, was predominantly really, you know, the gay music.
The gay scene,
where,
yeah.
You know, that's what, it, you know, when, it, you know, between doing the drag, like these drag shows. Or
it was
anything.
It was indeed underground.
Yeah,
they
it
were,
was,
I
it
mean,
was indeed underground. Yeah, they were throwing their own parties, and it obviously just, it just evolved into a sound where, you know, it's, that you had really your kind of electronic, you know, element coming in from Europe, and then meeting that techno here in the States, you know, and then obviously going into Berlin. It's just, it was just a lot going on since, like, you know, the 80s, and then going into, you know, it, through the 90s and to where it is now. You've really seen it evolve, and obviously with the Ibiza culture, which was always just that getaway island.
Yeah.
Even since like the late 70s, early 80s.
Have you seen that Netflix movie, Ibiza?
No, I'm not going to
entertain it. I won't watch a second of it.
Nope. There's no way I'm entertaining that shit.
No.
For the least bit.
It looks embarrassing.
Yeah, no. And I actually read a review and I think it was an actual embarrassment.
Most of these Netflix movies are an embarrassment. Katie and I have watched a bunch of them just because like there'll be big name actors in it. But at the end of the day,
some good ones.
They're movies that big studios wouldn't pick up because they were kind of garbage, and Netflix was like,
we'll
buy that discount, you know?
Yeah, a lot of independent shows. I mean, you know, again, we'll go back to the house thing in a second, but again, with Netflix, I mean, one of the fucking best shows you see on Netflix is by far Daredevil.
I heard it's amazing.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Watch it. Give it that chance, because ignore the whole Ben Affleck aspect from back in the day.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. It took me like 2 years to get into it. Finally watch it a while back, and that season two, and then also going into Punisher.
I heard that's really good.
Was fucking
well.
Incredible.
I like John Berthal. Yeah,
he was awesome. He was a perfect character for it. Just such a dark, gritty twist.
Yeah.
Even Daredevil. But anyway, going back into the house segment before we going back into the Netflix thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Brooklyn, dude. It's just. It's great. I mean, and again, like, you know, you have all these cities getting into it now because, you know, all these cities, they have these hotels that are doing rooftops.
Yes.
They have these warehouses that do these rooftops. You have people that want to do more shit during the day than rather than just go ham at night. You know, people who want to do these, go from a brunch to a rooftop to go listen to beats.
I know more people who like day partying than night partying.
Dude, even last summer, I haven't done so much this summer, but I mean, last summer I was doing something every Sunday.
Right.
Like, my Sundays were brutal.
I got to output rooftop. I got to do it at least once a summer.
But you know what sucks is that it's
the view.
It's charm. It's
the view, right?
The music's still there, but the view, what happened?
That
they put the fucking, that building just went up.
Fucking gentrification, man.
Yep, that new building's up, and it killed literally half the skyline.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucked. But prior to that building, and you know what was funny? We were there before that building was even excavated.
Right.
You know, we were there when that was still, what was standing was still a rundown warehouse. Yep. That first summer we went, and you had the most epic view of Lower Manhattan.
Yeah.
I mean, of all Manhattan.
All Manhattan, pretty much, yeah. Midtown.
Yeah,
special.
And now it's... Yeah, it's a shame.
Gentrification strikes again.
Yep.
They got us. They got us. But
no, the sound is still alive and well out there. The scenes are great.
Who's spending that, Elro?
Elro, you got Eats Everything and Patrick Topping as the headlining back-to-back set.
That's a force, okay.
Golden Pony, we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know them, but...
I believe London guys.
Yeah.
Got Jesse Perez.
Okay, that's a good one.
Who else did we have? I had actually the lineup here is just really fucking
wasn't
wild.
Steve Lawler, no?
No, not Steve Lawler's not on this one.
Okay, but he's done Elro shows.
Yeah.
De La Swing?
De La Swing's not doing anything. I'm so pissed because he did the last one and I missed it. De La Swing, they still have the residencies going on over
in
Ibiza.
In Ibiza.
You know?
True.
But yeah, here it is. You have Technasia, Mark Maya.
Will
Clark. Will Clark and Sante, that's going to be amazing.
And Sante, I love Sante.
Denny
and
Jesse
producers.
Perez. It's going to be insane.
That's a beast of a lineup right there.
Yeah, it's It's gonna be wild. And it's one of those shows where, you know, it's just the most festive thing you'll fucking
do. Right. It's really visually stimulating, it's, where techno usually isn't very visually stimulating.
Yeah, you know, you go into a warehouse, listen, we've been into, you know, between going to Martina's Brothers shows, Seth Troxler shows, going to fucking Carl Cox shows, and your local Dice.
Sure.
Going to all those shows, yeah, there's no, like, visual appeal, sometimes a bigger stage, yeah.
Yeah.
Know, that it is what it is, but, you know, or just, like, your standard warehouse, but this is a show where it's not just about the DJs, they actually make it about... You know, the theatrics.
Yes.
You know, the decor. They invest a lot of money into it. And it's just visually appealing. It's just like one of the most crazy things you could actually see. And it's gotten bigger. You know, I remember the first time I went, it was 2 years ago, and I had just gotten back. I just flew in from Asia and I couldn't fucking sleep. And one of my boys, he just hits me up and like, hey, let's go out. And, you know, I was, again, it's a 12-hour time difference, so with the jet lag and everything, I'm up all night. And like, yeah, let's go to Elro, and they were hosting it at Flash Factory over in Chelsea at the time.
Okay.
It doesn't exist anymore. But Elro was a small one then. I saw videos and pictures from that. It was just, you know, a very small...
Festival.
Not even festival. It was a smaller show. But you could tell, like, how wild it is and how vibrant and sexy of a time it is. But, you know, when you just... I follow them on Instagram.
Me too,
and on Facebook and everything. I see these videos, and they're based out of Barcelona.
Yeah.
And you know they it has that obviously they keep that Spanish vibe to it, and you know, and they really do make it about the audience. They know that listen, this show isn't shit.
Right.
If we don't have people here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we can have fucking DJs all we want. You know, we have the DJs.
Yeah.
We need the fucking
every
people.
Show has
we want the people
DJs.
To come out and fucking have, you know, have that great time. Not even just be about the music, but be about the environment that's around there. And it really is just, you know, one of the, like, the wildest party. It's my favorite show. It's my favorite festival.
I wish I was going, man. Yeah. But, you know.
I encourage everyone to go once.
Yeah.
It's a real fucking fun time.
One of these days, I promise I'll rave again. I know I've fallen off. It's
hard these days, man. It gets tough.
Yeah.
It gets tough. I've seen myself dwindling down a little bit, too.
Yeah. I still love the music.
Oh, yeah. That will
like,
never die.
Love the music. Love it. That will never change. But going out to the shows and, you know, I don't drink as much as I used to.
Same.
I don't take drugs as much as I used to. Even, I wouldn't mind, you know, for one of these shows. Why not? Dabbling a little bit. Why not? But, you know what I'm saying. As you get older, it's just a natural progression of life. And, I would like, it's no excuse. I mean, I haven't been to, I can't even tell you the last. Oh, at the Mirage, the Paradise Show.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Jones and,
that's right.
And Dubfire. That was, you know what's funny? That was September 23rd. That was not even the, that was the beginning of fall. And it was like, it was like this out though. It was like 80 and humid and sunny. It was like a summer day.
It was just as fall was around the corner.
It
was turning.
I think like the next day it turned to fall. Like the trees started browning as I think it's the leaves started changing as we walked out of there.
Thank God there were only palm trees in there.
Yes, but I think that's the last rave I've been to, man. I gotta get back. I gotta do at least one.
You gotta do one. You know, listen. I know it's a production. It's a like I'm not even just talking about the show itself. Going to these things.
Getting there.
It's a production.
First of all, it's expensive. I don't feel like it was this expensive in the beginning.
The Mirage tickets, they've definitely gone up. I mean, they used to be... They were like... Yeah, when it first started coming about, building, $40-$50. But you gotta keep in mind, too, it's always been around there because...
Right.
Permit-wise, you know... Venue wise,
I mean, he's a big name DJ. It's a big festival. Like, I get it.
Yeah,
it's a traveling show. It's not going to be $20. I mean, come on.
No. These shows now, it's there's your average $60 to $70.
Yeah,
You know, but honestly, it is one of those shows worth going to. Like, this is a show where
I know.
I don't like even for Elro. It's one of those shows that it's not something that you even want to show up late to,
right?
Just for a couple sets. This is something where it's like a movie from beginning to end. Like, you want to see, like, everything, you know, fall through. You know, and just like in Brooklyn typical fashion, you're going to have your people go in and out.
Straggling in.
You know, like, they're leaving. But it starts at 6:30 and it's going to be, I'm sure, going on until 3, 4 in the morning.
3, 4 in the morning. Yeah, easy.
It is,
easy.
Yeah, it's a wild show.
Cool, man. Well, we got to go. We've said it all.
Wow, yeah. Wow, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Did we even get to everything?
I don't think so.
And 40 minutes.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That went quick, right? It just goes boop, 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 boop. Just talking, rambling about shit. I think we got to everything we wanted to get to.
Yeah. We avoided the awful Mets.
Yeah, we don't need to get into Syndergaard with the mouth, hand, and what do you get? Mouth, hand, and something disease.
From
working a kids camp or something like that.
I don't know. It's one of those like disease. Like it's one of those.
It's like mono.
Disease. Yeah, it's almost like mono. Exactly.
He got mono.
Yeah, and it's something that you find at a daycare.
But Thor is like
foot, mouth, and hand disease or some shit like that.
I mean, you breathe wrong on Thor, and that guy's injured. I mean, he is far from Thor. That guy. I mean, we could go on for days about how big of a joke the Mets are. But
I know. But you know what? To not discredit them. Yeah, you know, has their downfall since the beginning of the season been awful? Yes, but still not the worst team. In all of MLB, there's still at least a good 5 other teams worse than them.
So, you know,
you got to think of that sort of.
There you go. Look at the bright side.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the bright side. You know, everybody's still ousting the Mets for it, and I get it. You know, we're always going to be that second New York team.
Yeah.
You know, just got to call spade a spade.
Yeah.
But you still got the Orioles that are still awful. You still got the Royals. You still got the White Sox. All these other teams.
Hey, whatever helps you sleep at night, man. whatever works. But.
You know, but they can't afford to lose DeGrom either. Yeah. They can't do that. So, I think they're going to give him the extension. We need it. We need a team to build around him.
We need to keep something, yeah.
It's his agents come out and said, like, listen, it's either an extension or we look elsewhere.
Right,
so.
right. Yeah. Yankees can use him. Man, so bad, and they have the prospects for it. The Mets, I'm telling you, man, I don't know. They might not be able to pay DeGrom. Honestly, that Madoff thing hurt them more than anyone will ever know.
Dude,
they operate like a small market team, and they're in the biggest market.
I know they can't do anything. It's I almost kind of think of myself as or see it as, you know what, it's when are the Mets going to turn around? I think when they stop. Paying Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, July 1st.
I think like that.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
I think that's been the omen for all these years. I feel like that's going to lift a curse.
Yeah.
That season that they finally stopped paying him $1.2 million a year.
What a, only in America, man. That's incredible. Every July 1st, he has a million and change coming to him. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, I could sit on his ass all year and provide.
Joke.
Yeah, but all right, we gotta go.
Let's wrap
this was up. Fun.
Thank you.
Let's do it again. All right. Later.
You're welcome. You're welcome.